they begin to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
We look down a river and we see the British come, and there must have been 100 of them beating on the drum. They stepped so high and they made the bugles ring. We stood beside our cotton bales and didn't say a thing. We fired our guns and the British kept a coming.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for listening on this Friday morning. Text line 251-343-0106 if you want to express your frustration. I think unneeded, but there for you. The Jeff Poor Show is there for you. 251-343-0106. We'll try to get to those texts if we have time, time permitting. Coming up now on the show, joining us by phone, our returning champion, one and only State Senator Chris Elliott. Good morning, Senator. How are you?
I am doing well. Glad to be back in South Alabama after spending a bunch of time in Montgomery this week.
Anticlimactic, I think, is the term you and I both used, at least for the upper chamber, probably for the lower chamber too, but little business. You reelected Greg Reed as the pro tem, probably a few other offices, but you got the rules done. Business as usual.
I think so. I mean, I think you'll see, you know, the pretty much the same from a leadership style and implementation in the upper chamber. You know, the real story was in the House with some new rules down there that I think will make the House move a little bit more efficiently than before, and will reflect certainly new leadership in the House. But for the the upper chamber, I don't expect things to operate a whole lot differently than they did before. Of course, you've got a lot of the folks that were freshmen last year, me included, that are now, you know, committee chairs, and we'll be using that authority as we go back into the quadrennium. But from a leadership standpoint, probably very similar than what you've seen before.
What Governor inaugural addressed on Monday. I'm going to try to make it for that. Let's talk about that. I mean, are you looking for anything? Because I think that speech and the State of the State speeches really got to give us a taste of an agenda. And as far as I can tell, other than maybe an interview or two here and there, especially during a campaign, I don't know what to expect from the governor. But what are you looking for on Monday?
Leadership, to answer in one word. I mean, I'm looking to hear what the governor's priorities are and what they are specifically, right? Not just, hey, we got to do better with education, or we need to implement these changes to make our prisons safer. I want to hear what the specifics are on that, because these are issues that we've been talking about for my entire time in Montgomery. And while we've taken concrete steps, at least from a funding, you know, the prison construction, so we haven't really seen anything, haven't seen any relief, and we still have issues in Alabama's prisons. While we certainly have done some innovative things from the legislature side of our standpoint, as far as funding educators better, coming up with some innovative ways to fund math and science teachers and things of that nature, you know, we haven't really gotten to some of the underlying problems that still exist. You know, I'm curious about that. We are finally starting, and you and I have talked about this before, to see some of the Rebuild Alabama actually get on the ground and get moving. So you're starting to see a lot of road construction in Mobile County. You're starting to see a lot of, you know, some additional construction in Baldwin County, which needs to happen. And then, of course, I'm looking forward to seeing the disposition of this, you know, these mini bridge projects that have been talked about for so long, and what happens with them and how those get implemented in South Alabama, because they're critical and crucial for our continued success.
You mentioned leadership, but Senator, I think there is a tendency of Governor Ivey and this administration. Now, I don't know, maybe it'll change now. You got a different chief of staff and different people around her, but to go it alone approach. And we saw this all throughout COVID, and we saw it attempted with the prisons, but she seems to be more willing to go, or more her tendency seems to be going down that path rather than coming to the legislature and saying, hey, here's what I'd like to do. I mean, do you think we're going to see a change?
I hope so. I certainly hope so. And not for the governor's standpoint or the legislature standpoint, but mainly because the go-it-alone approach without legislative buy-in and without help has been unsuccessful, right? Look at prisons. You know, the governor called the legislature a herd of turtles and said she couldn't do it with them, that wouldn't work, and she needed to move quicker than that. The plan blew up and didn't work, and the legislature, as I advocated for the entire time I was there prior to us actually getting that across the line, said, hold on, there's a whole lot of new people here. They've got new ideas, and they're ready to address this issue. You're referring to a quadrennium ago. This is a whole different ball of wax, and it was. And we were able to fund prison constructions that will address the many issues, the very many issues that are facing our prison system. So that's a great example of tried it, go alone. It did not work. It was an utter failure, and then turned around, and now we've got a collaborative approach, and it's going to work. Let's take the I-10 bridge, for instance. You know, tried it, go it alone. You know, my way or no highway. This project is dead. You know, I'm not listening to any other elected officials. I'm going to do whatever I want to do, and that's how it's going to be. You know, utter failure, and did not work, and needed to not work. I mean, you had all the locals, the state legislature, legislators from this area saying, stop, this is bad. We'd rather have nothing than have this. Come back around, get buy-in, ask what the problems are and what the whole, you know, holdups are. And then, hey, now we've got a plan that I think is on the right track and headed in the right direction and somewhat more reasonable. So I think that, you know, that the governor has certainly seen, at least as it pertains to South Alabama, if you try the go it alone approach, it's not going to work, and you're going to waste time. And that's one thing, you know, in any second term governor needs to pay attention to, is this is all you got left. You might as well engage folks and try to get wins when you can, instead of going it alone and being unsuccessful.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Senator, did you know, I saw some of your colleagues while I was up there last week, or earlier this week, I mean, and this segment here, critically acclaimed. So you always got to bring your A game, because a lot of your colleagues, I guess, are listening right now, or will be when it podcast.
Well, that's flattering and scary at the same time. We got to get them some hobbies.
Well, a real vanguard for policy in the State House. I'm not making this up, guys. And members of the Senate come and say, hey, you got to tell Elliott to up his game this week. I listen every week. I tune it in, listen to it while I'm out walking the dog on Saturday morning or something. I'm like, really? Oh, yeah, yeah. It's must listen for me. So it is a very influential segment, to say the least. Hey, Senator, something I want to talk to you about. And I heard this from Sam Gavan up in North Alabama. Do you think we're going to see changes in the way the state health officer is selected, the whole Alabama Department of Public Health bureaucracy in general? I mean, is that something you guys are going to look at, if not this year, sometime this quadrennium?
That's certainly something I hope we look at again. You know, that was certainly tried last quadrennium. Senator Tom Watley from the Auburn area, from Lee County area, pushed that issue hard. The governor's office pushed back against it, whether it was dealing with the governor's emergency powers or the state health officer himself. And she just continuously pushed back very, very hard on that. I know that Senator Watley, obviously a powerful senator in and of himself as chairman of the Judiciary Committee, worked that bill very hard. I continued to think that we had it in a place where it was going to be successful. Ultimately, it wasn't, and that was pretty disappointing. But my hope is we can continue to work on that. That's another area in my mind where I think the governor could show some leadership and take over, if you will, some of those responsibilities. Does the state health officer need to be appointed by the governor? Somebody responsible to the people, as opposed to, you know, a bunch of doctors? Is there should we be doing that, especially when we're making decisions that typically are reserved for elected officials, like, hey, we're going to close down the state. Somebody who's responsible to the public ought to be making those decisions, not somebody who's unelected or who has no elected boss. And those are changes that need to be made. But I think there's going to have to be some change in the governor's office in order for that to be successful. You'll remember, you know, as a legislator, we've always got to remember, what is the governor going to do with this? Because she could, and I think this governor would, veto something that she doesn't like.
Yeah, but you guys could override her veto with a simple majority, right?
We could, and you know, I was successful in pushing an expansion of vaccine exceptions during a special session when she didn't put it in the call, and that was something that was a huge challenge to do because she very much did not want to take that up in that special session. But it is an incredibly difficult thing to do, and make no mistake about it, it puts the legislature's leadership at odds with the governor's office, and that's not a place they like to be either. So while it is doable, it is it is and should likely only be used in the most serious of instances.
In your guy's defense, I mean, she wound up using it in her campaign commercials, though. So, I mean, I make of that what you will. So against this, but then when the time came, well, look what I signed into law. Vote for me, right?
Yeah, I did notice that.
Just wanted to point that out. But the way it is right now with the state health officer, though, your former colleague Jim McClendon would always come on the show and talk about it, and this was his thing, that these are the guys that would appoint Dr. Scott Harris or whoever it may be, but then later that afternoon they'd be in his talking to him in his office or something, lobbying him, right, which he thought was just a totally messed up system.
He did, and I agreed with him, much to the chagrin of the medical association and the, you know, I think when you start looking at the way that the medical association interacts with the public health authorities and public health boards and the public health department, it's too cozy for me. And I always agreed with Senator McClendon on that issue. I just always thought it was a kind of problematic and a little bit too cozy. But there's a way to fix that. And I think Senator Wiley was fast on his way to doing that. There's going to have to be something that's changed in the governor's mind in order to get that across the line, in my opinion.
Good to know. Good to know. The other, every year, we do this exercise. And despite growing tired of it, we still got to do it. Gambling. What are we going to do about gambling? Or are we going to do anything? Because, Senator, I don't know. Just trying to count votes and looking at the way the Senate is now, I think gambling lost votes in this last election because of retirements or who got elected. And I don't know that there's necessarily a path forward for any kind of comprehensive gambling bill.
Well, I certainly would agree with you in the Senate that there are a number of people that were pushing comprehensive gambling that aren't there anymore, right? Senator Marsh, Senator McClendon, neither one of whom are there anymore. I think Senator Watley was a yes vote on that. Senator Holly was pretty much a yes vote on that. So losing those folks is not good for that cause. However, I continue to think that with the Attorney General's actions, the Department of Revenue's actions, and the Supreme Court's actions on some of these other gambling entities, and when I say actions, I mean a lot of these places are going to be going out of business because of the tax bill and the way the tax bill's been interpreted, or some of the actions by the Attorney General. The number of players in the room that have to be satisfied in order to move a piece of legislation has gone down significantly. And I continue to hope that we're able to get to a lottery and move forward. And I think that the chances of that happening have actually gone up. I think the chances of some big comprehensive bill have probably gone down.
Yeah, I think you're right. But I'll say this, though. It does seem like maybe the legislature has a little bit more leverage. Finally, the Supreme Court's ruled on the civil action and the tax liability. And there's still somehow hanging on in Greene County, Macon County, Lowndes County, Houston County. But, Senator, I mean, they're not going to be able to compete under these circumstances, I think, and we're going to see that at some point, I mean, maybe they come to the table and say, hey, let's, because that's the impediment, right? You don't always have enough Republicans to get the three-fist over to for the constitutional amendment. She had to go to Democrats. Democrats are no because we don't know what that means to just doing a lottery even. We don't know what that means for the Porch Creeks. So you get this impasse. It happens every single year. But now maybe you have a little leverage.
Exactly. I think so. I think there are less players that are going to be concerned about their fate because they're dealing with the Supreme Court, the Attorney General, you know, local DAs, et cetera, on a bunch of the, or the tax man on a bunch of these different things. So I think the likelihood of stripping out some of, frankly, what I saw as a bunch of nonsense, the issue is the lottery. Can we decide on this? Yes or no. And then we'll come back on these other things. I won't say it was naive, but it was something that I quickly found out was never going to work because you had all these folks with the special interest tied to it that were just intransigent on the issue of dealing with the lottery prior to really solidifying their position in a statewide constitutional amendment. Remember, all of these operate under local CAs that only needed the support of the folks in, say, Macon County, right? Well, now, you know, you've got to have the support from folks statewide. And they were hell-bent on making sure that they were included in that big statewide behemoth constitutional amendment. And that's when things just started falling apart. It had way too much on it to be successful. I doubted that it would pass statewide because it was frankly just a mess. I'd like to get back to lottery, yes or no, and see where that goes. And of course, the Porch Creeks operate outside of all of this, right? They're just different in their setup. They're different in their makeup. They're different in how they're treated under the law. So they're almost, outside of the conversation about lottery in my mind.
Senator, got to leave it there. Always appreciate your time. We'll do it again next week, and have a good week.
I will do it. Y'all enjoy and keep our friends in Selma and Autauga County and the rest of the state of Alabama that are impacted yesterday by tornadoes in your prayers, please.
State Senator Chris Elliott, ladies and gentlemen. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.